example in, just briefly, a good example in Acts 16 is the establishment of the testimony in Philippi. If you think about, if you read that chapter, you're going to find people from all strange backgrounds. Lydia, a wealthy businesswoman, a jailer, who had to deal with criminals, a young maid who was delivered from bondage of demons, all coming together to form the assembly in this matter of removing of enmity. I wouldn't pick these individuals to be with, but the Lord put them all together, this strange motley group, to walk together and show this peace that we're talking about. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to emphasize that these two verses, as wonderful as the thought is, as we've been expressing them, I wanted to just point the emphasis was how that occurred. It was by preaching. In Acts chapter 10, it was preaching to the Jew, preaching peace, this reconciliation, this harmonious connection now with God. In Ephesians chapter 2, it preached to them that were afar off, the Gentile. It's the role of the preaching, the communication of what God has wrought. And I think this is a wonderful thing to just stop and think about. We've had it. God is the author. He is the originator. He has made it. He has declared the righteousness that gives us this peace with God. But it's declared. It's declared. It's preached. It's spoken of. And in both of these texts, it's God who is the speaker, right? We preach, and so he says, and preach to the Jew in Acts 10, peace. To the Gentiles, you who are afar off, he preached peace. And so the message comes through the communication from God.
And this tells us that all of us in the world need this same message. This is good to keep in mind as we lead into our own participation in that. Because we might have thought, well, it's obvious that the Gentiles, you know, look at the mess they were in, Romans chapter 3 and so on. You look at how terrible they were. But probably the people of Israel, probably they were a little more calm about things. No, they needed the exact same message. And so this is the attractiveness of the message. Regardless, we speak to some people who are religious or who are spiritual. They need a message of peace. And we can start that in that spot. If we're looking for an opening, sometimes you're not always sure, you know, where do we start speaking with someone about, you know, spiritual things. But this is one aspect of life that, based on these passages, everyone knows what it is to need this message of peace, because it's not from heritage that we get more peace with God. If we are concerned about that at all, we are going to be concerned about it forever until we hear, we receive this message. It's almost like in Acts 10 and also in Ephesians 2, the way it's worded, it almost seems to be a statement of excitement. It says preaching peace, but the word preaching is evidently, it's the word, it's just gospel as a noun, gospel as a verb, rather. So it's kind of like he preached the gospel, and if you would, so the English punctuation mark, the colon, that's where you put the colon. It means, I'll explain to you what I mean. He preached the gospel, peace. That's the message. He came to preach the gospel, peace, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just the word, you preach peace, that's wonderful as it is, but to think of how it must have been received by those who heard it. He came gospeling, peace, through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a message. And if that doesn't thrill us to speak about it, then we haven't really appreciated it ourselves, this idea that that's the message, that's the core content of this message, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
We see this on the resurrection morning, with the Lord Jesus, his first words basically to the disciples was, peace be unto you. Then he showed them his hands and his side. That is the evidence of a finished work. That was the basis. And then peace to you. But then he says to them, and he says it twice, peace. They rejoiced and he said, peace to you. Then he said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So that, as I said earlier, that ministry of reconciliation has been committed to us. Like, it's horizontal, but it's also vertical. We are his instrument in the world. I suppose that sort of brings us to Ephesians chapter 6, to the gospel of peace, Brother Mike.
Did not the angels prophetically express this at the birth of Christ? Peace upon earth, goodwill to men.
I was thinking, as we have gone through the talk this morning, we've said that peace isn't simply the absence of enmity, but now there is the presence of harmony, correct? So therefore we are now harmonious with them, and part of that now is for us to take this message out to our to people around us. And is that, I think that's linked with Ephesians chapter 6, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Does this mean that as I walk around in my life, that I should be really taking this message? Is this what this is telling me? I should be taking this message with me wherever I go? Is that what this is saying?
Certainly we should be living it out.
Our whole attitude would display this. I'm thinking of some years ago, a young person came to the meeting. He was there once or twice, and I asked him, what particular thing has impressed you here that's different from where you've, what you've been used to? He says, I notice the hymns you sing, you're talking to him, you're talking to the Lord. You're not singing about him, but you're singing to him. That was beautiful. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
But I just to give a perspective on Ephesians chapter 6 in regard to that, because, and it is, the application is right in regard to the matter of preaching the gospel. But in Ephesians chapter 6, it's a defensive warfare, not an offensive warfare. I consider the preaching of the gospel is an offensive warfare. You're going after the enemy to bring souls to Christ and to proclaim, as we have heard, peace. And that is absolutely true. But for me as a believer in the in an environment that is hostile, because that's our warfare, it's not just flesh and blood. You are, it's a battlefield. It's a hostile environment around you. What will make your feet stable? It's really the gospel of peace. This is whole idea of the good news that you have received, that I have peace with God. So in the time of turmoil around me, when everybody's worrying about North Korea sending a nuclear missile or whatever, and that's everybody was talking about, and I think I appreciate the point that was made. People are seeking for peace. They have an anxiety in there. And when they ask about these questions, it's an opportunity to see me and not worry about North Korea sending a nuclear weapon or anybody doing anything. I know where I'm going. They send a missile or they don't. And as a matter of fact, I don't think they're going to send a missile anyway.
We'll get this far east anyway. You
know? Exactly. So the whole idea of those peace, that, yeah, that the feet that are shod with the gospel of peace, that is the preparation of the gospel of peace, that I am ready and I am stable and I am secure and I am safe in that hostile environment.
Yeah, so in the two texts that we have in the last section of these readings, in Romans 10, the one who is the preacher going forward, his message is the gospel of peace. How beautiful are the feet of those that spring the gospel of peace. And so in Romans 10, it's the outward going out, taking the gospel to those in a troubled world. In Ephesians, it's the stability for the believer in conflict to stand in the assurance of what the gospel of peace secures.